How? Close enough. Hey, when Joanne asked me to speak today on this topic of camping, I said I wouldn't do it because I was raised Jewish, and Jews don't normally march into a camp by choice. A little too early for that. Well, my grandmother, my dear grandmother, used to say, been there, done that, got the tattoo. Ooh, okay. You told me that would work. Here's the thing. We don't fish. We don't cut bait. We go to Guyton's if we want fish. And we don't hunt. We don't shoot skeet. I don't think skeet's kosher anyway. We don't trap. You know, my ancestors spent 40 years crossing the desert, and never did they sit around a campfire doing shots of Mogan David swapping stories. You've probably seen thousands of pictures of photographs of Moses, and he's never enjoying a s'more. We don't camp. Anyway, so I had to really think hard to come up with a story for Joanne, and I went way back into my childhood memory and came up with a story I'm going to tell you. You should know that I'm very, very patient. I'm probably the most patient person you're ever going to meet. I don't care about traffic. I don't care about long queues and waiting in a restaurant. It doesn't bother me at all. And I'm going to tell you the story. It involves camping. I'm going to tell you why I'm so patient. So I go back to 1954, and my dad comes to me. I'm a little seven-year-old, and my dad comes to me and says, we're going to go. We just joined a father and son group. We're going to go every week. It's called the Indian Guides. It's sponsored by the YMCA, with the Young Men's Christian Association. Now, he had just put me in Hebrew school for many years, and I hated it. And I'm thinking, if I got to go to Hebrew school, what are we doing with this Christian organization here? What are you, rubbing elbows? Is it going to be a problem? He said, no, it's going to be fine. So we end up, we joined the Indian Guides of the YMCA. By the way, they don't call them Indian Guides anymore. They call them Y Guides because of some kind of a political correctness, saying Indian or something. So anyway, here's how it went. The Indian Guides was like this. We'd have about five dads and five kids, and we'd meet about, once a week at someone's house, and there would be snacks, and we'd play games, and we'd tell stories, and do these little crafts and stuff. You know, it was great. And we all got really cool headbands with all these Indian symbols, and we got feathers, and we had to come up with a name. Everybody had to have a name for themselves, and it involved an animal and an adjective or something like, hungry wolf or roaring bear or something. My name should be like a whiny boy with big nose. But no, that wasn't. My name turned out to be a running antelope, and my dad was running bear. Over the years, by the way, my family has changed my name to Smoking Pot. But that's a whole different story for a whole different day, and I won't tell that now. Smuggler that I am. Where am I? So I'm on the Indian Guides. I got to get to this camp thing. The biggest event of the season for the Indian Guides in upstate New York was we'd go to this week-long camp at a place called Camp Cory, which was established in 1821. It's one of the seven oldest camps in the world. And we were going to go up there for our annual Indian Guide festival. And we get in the car, and we get up there, and there's going to be bunks and barbecues, and, there's water sports, there's a lake, and, I don't like meeting new people, really. Even as a seven-year-old, I had my friends. I didn't want to meet any of these kids from Buffalo or something, from other parts of New York. And, the bunk was a little bit not comfortable for I like a nice soft mattress, and I wasn't too good at that. The food, not to my liking exactly, it wasn't exactly... And that lake, you put your foot on the bottom of that lake, there's some slimy rocks, and didn't like that very much, and there was mosquitoes. So to me, it was kind of not so much fun. I'm a whiner. And end of the week, the big deal was coming, and this is where I'm going to talk about why I'm so patient, because I'm finally getting to the story. So we get to this area like this. There's a big bonfire, and we all sat around the bonfire, and we waited and waited until out of the shadows comes this man, an Indian man. He's all dressed in the buckskin, and he's got the feathered helmet. What do you call that thing? What is that thing called? The headdress. Yeah, that's what it was. He wore his headdress, and we were told he was a chief. And the chief comes out, and he said, "How?" And we all said, "How?" back. And he starts talking to us about patience and how important it is to be patient. And, you know, relationships are better if you're patient, and your growth. He went on and on, and he's talking about patience. And I'm sitting there, I'm listening to the chief, and I can't wait to be patient. Come on, how do I get to be? And so he came around, and he gave everybody a little piece of paper, and it was on which was written the word impatience. And he said, "Okay, what you want to do is you put it up into a little ball, and we're going to dance around the fire, and you'll throw it into the fire, the little paper." And we all did that. When I threw my paper into the fire, this was really freaky, because from that moment on, I have never been impatient. It's like magic. I mean, when you get a message, I guess a subliminal message from a shaman, I guess it works. And so I've never been impatient. And, you know, when the whole thing ended, the whole fire died down, and the chief came right up to me. And he said, "Shalom, whiny boy with big nose. I will be back again someday to work on incontinence." And I'll tell you what, I'm waiting very patiently, but he hasn't shown up yet, if you know what I'm saying. Shalom.